Hello and welcome back to our Loose Heads podcast in association with Talking Rugby Union. Hope you enjoyed our first part of the podcast with Adam Jones. He went into great depth there, didn't he, about his time with Wales and how it all ended for him. So we thank Adam for being so open and honest about his time on the international stage. But with Wales recognition obviously comes British and Irish Lions caps as well, part of the side that won in 2013 against Australia. So Adam gets his teeth stuck into the British and Irish Lions stuff. We also quiz Adam about his Lions knowledge as well before he talks about Harlequins and his Mars 15. So this is part two of the Loose Heads podcast in association with Talking Rugby Union with Adam Jones. And you mentioned as well, Adam, that Warren had such a positive impact on your career, and obviously he takes you on tour in 2013 with the Lions, and obviously experienced 2009 under Sir Ian McGeachan. And in terms of going on the Lions tour, so that's 2009, what was that experience like for you when you were told you were going to be part of a British and Irish Lions tour?
Oh, it was 09 was amazing. It was, I probably went as third choice tight end in the end, I reckon. You know, we all found out Sean Ollie told everyone was going. We were training up in the Vale Hotel in Cardiff. In the barn, and you know, it was a funny one because, you know, Ray and Jones did make it, Hookie did make it first off, and so to have like six odd boys in there, was even like with Tommy Bowe and Arthur Ireland as well, that was amazing. And but 2013, I guess, you know, I never want to count chickens too early, but you know, I probably thought I had a good chance of making it and a good chance of making the test team in 2013, how sort of that Six Nations ended up. So yeah, it was it's always exciting. It's weird when there was more, I wouldn't say it was more excited, but you know, just to see Hibbard was in the, making the tour, Ian Evans making the tour, that was another, you know, that it was obviously chuffed a bit for them as well. Yeah, it was an amazing thing to be part of. I enjoyed every second of it, you know, even get injured, even the losses, even. But I think I was lucky to go on that one. I haven't spoken to people about what the 05 one was like, you know, boys like O'Driscoll and these type of guys, you know, they said it was totally different. And I think Gats and Ian McGeachan after, you know, Gerald Davis, these type of guys, after have a, you know, big pat on the back for how they've brought the traditional values back around to what the Lions needs to be like.
You obviously mentioned kind of the 09 tour, the results and injuries kind of curtailed it a little bit and maybe didn't produce sort of the results I think everyone was hoping for. But we've kind of heard Hugo Monnier, one of our ambassadors, and Jamie Roberts, when he's sort of got involved with us, talking about just how incredible that tour was and how it made them basically fall in love with South Africa. Yeah. What was it about that tour that kind of just seems to have resonated with everyone so much?
I think it's, the boys were good. It was, as I said, it was very traditional. I think, like, first of all, there was no cliques. Everyone was like in it together from day one. You know, there was no, one team's doing this, one team's doing that. There was no two separate coaches, coaching teams. All, you know, all one. And you were made to, you know, you were made to know that from the off. And, it was the best thing. I just loved the fact that everyone's a good bloke. You could have a beer with anyone, a coffee with anyone. There was no like people you'd want to purposely avoid or anything. And, maybe Andy Powell, but it was just a great tour. South Africa's rugby mad as well, which helps. You know, it's just crazy, and going there and I think growing up watching the Living with the Lions documentaries, kind of have a feel of what South Africa's like, and to be part of a Lions tour in South Africa then is certainly special. And I think I might be a line from the Living with the Lions documentary. I think, I loved it. I loved both the tours. It was. Australia was a bit weird because, you know, there's probably more British fans than Australian fans, and we were, you know, there's bigger things going on out there at the time, like the football, the cricket, and whatever. But I absolutely loved every second of it.
Team obviously bonded well. You've said that there, but must have been extra special as well for you to be packing down alongside your fellow Welshies in Gethin Jenkins and Matthew Rees on the tour.
Yeah, mate, it was class. We all, you know, good mates, you know, we get on really well. Gethin's been miserable at times, but I think it hadn't happened since the 50s, I think. It was an all-weather front row, so, which was, you know, it's little things that are even more special, you know, than the fact, you know, as I said, there was six Ospreys in the squad. Maybe went up to eight with Hookie and Ryan coming in, albeit very briefly, but it was a fantastic occasion. And yeah, we obviously, you know each other and you know your kind of strengths, so you feel a little bit more comfortable in that front row together. So, but no, it was great. It was great. You know, it was. It's almost one of those things you look back on when you finish more than you did at the time.
You touched on Australia there briefly, Adam, and when we spoke to Hugo Monday, you said about South Africa, when he scored his try and looked round, and it was just a sea of red everywhere, and he said there was more probably British fans than Australian fans when you were playing in that tour of Australia. But did you get the sense of the occasion and what it meant to the British and Irish Lions and the supporters that you were able to get that win over the line? Because if I'm right in saying it was the first series win for over 15 years?
Yeah, I think, it was massive. It was, you know, the fans were always amazing. And, you know, obviously the South Africa tour went a bit, didn't go as it wanted. But, I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves the last week by losing the second test. But it was very calm. It was, you know, obviously Gats was probably quite clever. And, you know, not clever, but no one ever thought he was going to drop Dricko. Mm. But he almost took any pressure off the boys then by, you know, doing that. Everyone hated Gats. Everyone, or the Irish, couldn't stand him because Dricko wasn't going to play in that last test. You know, Gats reverted to his sort of Welsh boys, and obviously it worked. But there was no pressure on the boys that last week because the whole media circus was around Dricko not playing. So whether Gats, you know, did that with a little bit in mind as well, it's, you know, not to be told, but I don't know. It was such a good feeling to win that. It was a tough series. It was, you know, we probably could have lost the first test with a kick, you know, but in Melbourne again. But we, it was a tough series. But we did, to win like we did in the last one was phenomenal.
I remember watching the final test in an airport bar with 12 of my mates, and we were off to Ayanapa for our first proper lads' holiday. So to beat Australia in the fashion you did was quite phenomenal. But it also got our holiday off to a belter. So thank you.
No doubt, mate.
And the Lions has obviously been a massive part of your life, Adam. And we're gonna put you on the spot a little bit here now, because we've noticed that you have done BBC's version of Mastermind when Lion was your specialised subject. And we thought maybe we could do a little version, a much shortened version of it now, if you don't mind. Because I know you came second, but very close second. So I think, Mark, we're going to go over to you for the first question.
Yeah, so, right, Adam, so as Chris said, we wanted to put you on the spot. So we've each got a question. My question is, there's only one species of lion, which is scientifically known as Panthera leo. Can you name either of the other two species?
No.
Fair enough. You got 12 out of 12 on the Mastermind one.
Yeah, unfortunately, that was it Lions 1993-2005, yeah. So.
I'll pass over to Rob. Go on.
My one isn't 1995-2003, but who scored the last try for the Lions?
Ooh. Was it? I don't know if they scored was it Conor Murray?
It was in the second test.
Five, unbelievable. 13
out of 13.
13 out of 13, yeah.
Since the first Lions tour in 1888, 835 players have represented the British and Irish Lions. But who was cap number one?
Adam's thinking, what has he let himself into?
Yeah. No, I mean, I wouldn't have a clue.
Mr. Jack Anderton.
I thought it might be, yeah.
I'll go for my question next, Adam. I think this, you may get this one as you were involved in the game. Just to go back to the first test against Australia in 2013, how many of your Wales teammates started that first test with you?
Oh, question.
Is that including me?
Not including you.
Not including me. So, I was there.
Yeah.
Alan Wynn. Mm-hmm. Warby. Mm-hmm. Mike Phillips.
Yeah.
John Davis. George North, Cuthbert. And Halfpenny.
Absolutely spot on.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Mark, I don't know if you've got an actual British and Irish Lions question.
Yeah, half. It's a bit of an easier question than Dave asked. Who was the last Lion?
Who was the last Lion?
So sequentially in the numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, who was the last Lion?
Oh, I wouldn't have a clue. Go on, Tony.
Go on, do you want to have a stab?
No.
Finn Russell.
Really? Ah, you're right, okay. Yeah, no test matches then.
Yeah. I tell you, he's a good phone a friend, isn't he?
Yeah. You know what?
Brilliant. Well, yeah, we'll get away from quizzing you now, Adam, and back to sort of your rugby journey. And obviously, you decide to make the move to England and to the Premiership with Harlequins. I mean, what attracted you to play in the Premiership and join the club?
There's nothing. I hadn't done it before. Obviously, I'd played the Mariners for years and years. Obviously, the Premiership. It's really good, it's all singing or dancing, B2E do a great spreading it for, the bloody, what would you call them, fans are good, there's always full houses in most of the ground. But I think the thing that attracted me was, I was coming towards the end, John Kingston and Connor were like, it's well documented how much, I've said, it was a chance to come and work with Kyle, Joe, Collier, these type of guys. It was a chance to come work with these young props with a view to something down the line. And not so much a view to send it on, a view to me upskilling myself, sending down the line as a coach. I wanted a coach, and that's something I kind of made my mind up I wanted to do. But it was a chance to come and work with these guys and see if I can get sent on.
Yeah, you mentioned sort of Joe Marler and Kyle Sinclair there as well, Adam. I mean, what are those guys like to work with?
I think, mate, they're good as gold. Like Kyle's, phenomenally. They're both actually unbelievable professionals. They're, off field stuff. They both can be a bit emotional at times. But they're great, good as gold. I mean, they've never been anything other than great to me to work with. I count them, good mates of both of them. But they're fantastic. It's as I said, both unbelievable professionals, both unbelievable rugby players. I've tried to help them as much as I could, and if I have able to help them, and then all the better. I'm very proud of that. But when I got there, there was a few. There was nothing really I had to do much with them. Certainly like maybe emotionally, a few of them. They can get a bit emotional at times, both of them, but nothing. Didn't have to actually do much with it. I've been lucky really.
And I know obviously Kyle's moving on to Bristol next season, Adam, but he's mentioned in the recent interview when you first joined the club and he was a bit worried about his place in the team, but then he quickly realised that you were a fantastic person to learn off, and he said he kept following you around the place and he probably did your head in. But what was it like to kind of be coming as a coach, because you've used the words mentor as well to mentor these guys?
No, it was something I hadn't done, but I was always happy to help younger players out, sort of Craig Mitchell and guys with the Ospreys, and Roger Jones with Wales, Scott Andrews, or any of the young props I was playing with me at the time. And it was a great opportunity for me. And I love the fact, I kind of knew I was coming towards the end. We had a chance to play together a couple of times. I played loose head as well, so that was pretty cool, and that was sync. And it was a great. I just loved the chance and loved the fact he wanted to learn. That was a big thing for me. He wanted to, wanted to learn and wanted to better himself, and that's what he's all about. So he'll be missed with us, and around the group and everything. And as a player, we see every when he puts that white shirt on as well for England, then he's he does incredibly well. And so hopefully he'll continue to get more caps for England than I did. Certainly for Wales.
Over the last couple of years as well, Adam, we've seen Quinn sort of take the next step. Obviously, Paul Gustard's come in and he's got great pedigree as a coach. But what's it been like for you to learn off him, if you like, as well?
Yeah, no, he's been class. He's obviously he's done great things with Saracens in England, and he's very knowledgeable of the game first and foremost. And he's got an opinion on every part of the game, whether it's attack, breakdown, scrum, line out. So that's, and he keeps challenging. He's been great. You can see why he did so well. And, he's a good laugh as well. Wants the boys to enjoy. And, it was probably what I've seen more than him. He's in like every part of the game. He's involved with it. And whether it's nutrition, whether it's the, you know, how long a session is, how long the blocks of a session are. He's doing well. I think we probably, hopefully we can get back this season, get going now, and see how, you know, see us kick on a bit, because, you know, we've, the amount of work he puts in is phenomenal.
And it's clear that you really enjoy kind of the coaching role at the moment, Adam, and we touched on there about Kyle and working with Joe as well. But what do you kind of look in a tight head prop when you're coaching or trying to mentor these guys?
You'll be quite, you don't have to be like overly aggressive, but you've got to be competitive for me. It's, you know, you can work on your shape, you can work on your strength, but if you've got someone who just wants to bail out and doesn't want to, you know, fight to stay in there, that's probably the biggest thing, I think. But you've got to be competitive. You've got to want to win. You want to win that little battle in the scrum. So that's huge. That's huge as a prop. And, you know, as I say, you don't have to be aggressive. But I suppose you don't have to be macho then, I think would be the word. You don't have to be macho. You just, you know, but you've got to want to compete, you know. And even if it's anything, whether it's a fitness test, whether it's, you know, weights and stuff, you know, against another prop, you know, you've got to be competitive in it, and that's a huge thing as a tight end.
And before we get on to sort of the final part of the podcast, Adam, where we do your Mars 15, I mean, just in terms of the dark arts of the front row, if you like, I mean, what was it like to be involved in that, and what gets said and talked about at scrum time? Because you hear all sorts on the touchline on the pitch, but I'm for one, haven't been involved in the front row, as you can probably tell.
To be honest with you, it's not that bad anymore. It's not like... Evan's too knackered, I think, to actually say anything. Evan's too, like, every time you have a scrum, you know, there's the ball in play is like 40 minutes. So the boys are tired, you know, there's too much, you know, you could get the odd player like Dave Ward who'll be chirping up all the time, you know, with these. But, you know, there's not really much anymore. Like, you can't, you know, there's so many cameras, the sort of dark arts have gone. You know, you've done, you know, you can't, you know, you're risking your career if you end up doing something stupid, like biting someone or gouging or anything like that. So, no, it's totally different these days. It's like, you know, I had a few belts when I was younger, but from, you know, second row, I'd send them through and punch you, but nothing, you know, you can't, and that's a risky one, because nine times out of ten, they won't hook out anyway, so it's, you know, you kind of, these days, it's kind of gone out the window, I think, any dark arts, really. So much pressure, and you're so power-orientated, and so, hard, for want of a better word. It's tough to do.
Absolutely. So Adam, you're one of the most recognisable faces in world rugby to me, who's seen the images of Frank Cotton and Graham Price of the past. The premise of the Mars 15 is one that I think you'll thrive within. But basically, the Martians have landed, challenges to a game of rugby to decide civilization, any era, any code, any country. Off you go.
So I've gone very. I've actually gone off to add one here. I've gone very. Teammate-based. So I've gone full-back for Talon as well, Lee Byrne. He'd be the two wings would be, because as you said, it's any era. I'd go Tommy Bowe and Shane Williams.
Yeah.
As two wingers. And you said it's a four-week trip, so, you know, they both love it. So I'd go John Davis on the centre.
Yeah.
One centre, and inside centre would go Alan Bateman.
Oh, yes.
So right. You'd obviously be in a league, you'd know Alan Bateman.
Yeah.
Jiffy would be my 10, I think.
Yeah.
Yes. Like you've said, so I'd try to pick people who said would be a good crack over the 4 weeks. So Jiffy, you know, and I think sometimes with Jiffy, you kind of listen and accommodate, and he gets quite annoying, like he used to anyway. But like then you watch him playing. Then he's a different level altogether, you know, and he's such a good player. And this one, he'd be number 9, but not. I don't know if he'd be 9 in rugby union. I did have Gareth Edwards, but I've changed that now to Sean Long.
Sean Long, right.
Current coach in argument to me. Love Longy, absolutely bonkers. absolutely bonkers. Number 8, I've gone Merv the Swerve. So for a little bit of Welshness. I've gone opposite flanker. I've gone Marty Holler, who I played with in the Ospreys. Like 30-odd caps for the All Blacks. Kind of makes you realise how good Richie McCaw must have been to keep Marty out of the team. Marty's such a good player. Loved, you know, with night out as well. Jerry Collins on my blind side.
Yeah.
just, you know, again, another one I was lucky enough to play with, like, fantastic bloke, you know, mad as a box of frogs, you know, just randomly end up in pubs all over Wales or over the UK via taxi, you know, pay a taxi, and then, you know, there's a story about him, the TV not working in the pub, and him going to the local Tesco, buying the TV, and then bringing it back to the pub, and then sitting down in the afternoon watching it. My 2 second rows would be Paul O'Connell and Alamein Jones.
Yeah.
Just, you know, both, there's been some class second rows over the years, but those two are different, you know, different level for me. Loose head would be Jason Leonard. Again, the fun bus would, you know, be great for the, great for the trip. And I've gone two of my favourite players growing up then. So hooker would be Sean Fitzpatrick,
yeah,
who's obviously, you know, legend, and probably one, unless you were a massive rugby head back in the 90s, you know, he played a lot for the All Blacks, but probably went under the radar a bit. But probably the best, for me, one of the best tight ends I played the game was Oro Brown, who was played for Auckland, played for the All Blacks. Unbelievable player. At the time, there was no props like him. Just, you know, that his body shape, his technique was a different level. And so he's him and Fitzpatrick, my two sort of guys growing up as my favourite players, I think. And because Wales didn't do very well when I was growing up. Those are the guys who I looked up to. A coach, I've gone for Lynn Jones.
Yeah.
Lynn Jones found, found me in Wales, picked me and gave me a career, which, you know, ever grateful for, absolutely barking mad. But, you know, just he'd keep you entertained on the four-week trip to Mars. Manager, I've gone Harry Redknapp. I watched that show with him with Paul Merson and Neil Ruddock and the ex-players were in the Capriccio. And I just think he's great value, and he's, you know, seen on the League of Their Own as well, his son as well, and just very, very, very funny bloke. Kitman would be Rala, who was my Lions kitman for 2 years, for two trips. So Rala was amazing. Never seen a kitman do stuff he did. You know, he tried everything for you. He couldn't do enough for you. If you wanted anything in a match, do anything like a match, Rala had it. And even when we had our little girl, he and his wife Dixie even bought a little silver spoon. So when I saw him after one of the test matches, he'd give me a little present. And so he's a thoughtful guy as well. And Waterboy, and he's actually nicknamed Bobby Boucher, would be Paul Sturgeon, who's currently the Welsh fitness coach. But big, I think he's a Wiganer, isn't he? I think Bobby, and so he's a great crack. You know, he'd be good to have on a 4 week trip.
Brilliant. One last thing, Adam. Who would be your skipper of that team?
Oh, I think I'd have to go Alan Wynn and Paul O'Connell half each, I think. Oh, you know, I know I won't. I'd go Fitzpatrick.
That's brilliant. Thank you. That's super. That's class.
No problem.
Great, great team, Adam. And just before you go, I know Rob picked you in his team to take to Mars, and Dane Coles did as well. Just thought I'd let you know that, Adam, the other week. Dane Coles said he picked you in his team to take on the Martians.
Why did he pick me? Do you think I'd enjoy the 4 weeks?
We'll have to ask him. We'll have to ask him. I think it's probably to do with your playing career, Adam.
Well, I don't know.
Well, it's been a pleasure to chat to you today, Adam. I really appreciate you taking the time this afternoon to have a chat about, obviously, mental health and rugby, but also your playing career and your coaching career with Quinns. So, wish you all the best going forward. Hopefully, we'll see you on the touchline at Quinns sooner rather than later.
Yeah, boys, thank you. Look, great. Really enjoyed doing it. And as you said, it's a big part of the game these days as well, the mental health side of it. And look, you're doing some good things. So, thanks for having me. Anyway, it's been a good laugh. Cheers.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Adam, and cheers again to Rob, Mark and Dave, as usual. Dave, just a bit of admin to finish off, as usual.
Yeah, just get yourselves over to looseheads.co.uk. Save yourselves 10% if you enter code POD at checkout.
Fantastic, fantastic. And with it being, well, we're recording, it is at Men's Health Week, so no time like the present to get stuff from Loose Heads and keep up to date with all the great stuff the guys are doing on social media. They are going to be at the rugby show as well, the virtual rugby show, which takes place on the 26th of June to the 28th of June. So do check out some brilliant interviews the Loose Heads guys have lined up. So many thanks to Rob, Mark and Dave again. And that's been another Loose Heads podcast in association with Talking Rugby Union.